Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, for the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue. Keep the issue in the front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
First caller, are you there? Double muted.
Let me try again, Sherry. There we go.
Okay.
First caller, are you there? Huh. That's interesting. Okay, let me try someone else, and if this keeps going, I might have to just reboot the show. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, Ashwini and Sherry. It's Marianne in Vancouver.
Good morning. Glad to hear you.
Glad to be there.
Yeah.
So what I have noticed about this question is that it kind of matches some things from the previous focuses that we've had. And what I've noticed is that it's sort of not the big question. It's like there's little, it's the little nuances or the little specific aspects of the focus that catch me or where I want to direct my attention to make changes.
Mm-hmm. So not great big areas, but these little places where do you suspect bigger things lurk behind?
I don't even know that bigger things lurk behind. It's just that it's like sexuality is like this huge, it's like a monolith. It's like 100-story office towers. And where I'm at is, no, there's a little molehill over here that where the answer is, mm-hmm. because the big thing is, it just kind of
unsavable.
Well, and it can overwhelm, and
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like it gets out of proportion.
Too big. Yeah, it's too big. Too big. Yeah. So, can you give us an example of one of these little places where you're working?
Well, part of I have to say before that is part of this is because I have been learning to walk again, and I have to make very minute adjustments in my body to adjust. And it's been doing that practice in my body that led me to, oh, I think this is where things are, where I want to focus on my daily practices. So,
So if I may, not to derail you, but if I may, this is one of those places where, you know, I'm always on about whatever happens to us is a gift, right? There's something for us in it. We wouldn't be here if it weren't going to be beneficial to us. Now, you're learning to walk again. Almost the entire world would say this is not, well, you're learning to walk again. That is the good news. The fact that you need to is really wrong, bad, shouldn't have happened. And yet, the subtlety that you're needing, the subtlety of attention that you're needing to bring to that is opening up an area of awareness that would possibly not have been available to you had this not happened.
Yes, and it's very subtle adjustments to my body that I can hardly believe that discovering where my fourth toe is makes a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. And what that points at is, not that there's anything, I'm not criticizing you for this, but you have spent a lifetime ignoring your fourth toe.
I have.
Right? Yeah, and finally that little toe said, okay, time for some attention. And not really for the fourth toe, but just it's time to realize how subtle our awareness needs to be, how present we have to be. And as you said, I mean, for a long time, we're making these giant wholesale movements, right, that just giant things in our lives. You know, maybe you stop a major addiction or whatever it is. And it can seem like that's really subtle at the time, but as we continue to practice, we realize the level of subtlety that we're talking about is there actually, I don't know the words for it.
Yes, I think that's what I'm trying to explain, is that my awareness has dropped in, because of dropping into my body, my awareness of what makes change is that can be very small.
Yeah.
And have a huge difference.
Tiny. Yes. Yes. So in fact, that's how we're bamboozled. Right? We are taught by conditioning to ignore the genesis, the origin of something. So that we're operating out on the end, toward the end of the continuum, and we're, as long as we stay out there, nothing is ever going to change.
Yes, and so that is what I am trying to get a handle on for the focus for this month. So it hasn't drilled down, but that's the process I'm taking, is to look in this way, so that it's not this big, sexuality, I don't know if I can handle it.
Yes, and what I would suggest you are experiencing and will continue to experience more of is that as you pay attention to the moment, to what's happening on that minute level in the moment, the opening is there for awareness to drop in insight. So you're going to get a lot of information that you would never get if you were storming that 100-story monolithic building, right?
Yeah, and so then it feels a lot more doable, and it also feels a lot more interesting.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, exactly, because you're here. All right. You keep us surprised, right? Because that process that you're describing, it seems like, well, how are you ever going to get anywhere with these little microscopic changes, okay? And they compound, because it's the process of paying attention at that level and opening that expansive portal for awareness to guide us. That's what's going to make the big difference.
And I couldn't do it without the guidance from you, Ashwini, all of the monks, and the Sangha.
Yeah, we couldn't. Nobody could. Yeah. Nobody could. Even the Buddha. Even the Buddha said that. You know, you need a Sangha. You need a lot of folks to do this. So, happy we're together.
So I feel very grateful for this very precious time. Thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you, Marianne.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Marianne.
What I heard in that, right, Cherry, is that it doesn't matter what the content is. It's just yes. that we're focused on the process of suffering, however it is that we're experiencing it. And to participate yes. in practice, in the Sangha, in paying such close attention with such a level of awareness is the point, mm-hmm. right? It's not yes. that we're getting anywhere about sexuality or money or anything else. They're just lenses which bring us closer to how we're caused to suffer, and also, as Marian was pointing to us, how to transcend that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and the gift in that conversation for me is not to lose the transcendence piece of it by
right.
focusing on the suffering piece of it.
Well, that, yes, and not to derail us too much here, but, you know, especially in the West and probably in the rest of the world to the degree that it's available to people, it's like, this happened to my foot. Make it go away. You know, what drugs do I need to take? What kind of operation do I need to have? Make it go away. And so to stay with whatever is going on with us at that subtle level, we're opening that doorway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being in the body, being in the body, and mm-hmm. in such close intimacy with it, mm-hmm. is really an aspect of sexuality that we don't normally explore, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Yeah.
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 All right.
When you talk about out at the end of a continuum, for most people, yes. sexuality happens way out there at the end of that continuum, mm-hmm. not in these mm-hmm. subtle kinds of experiences that Marianne is pointing to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here in Kent.
Hello, Colin. What are you seeing?
Hello. Well, just seeing a lot with this year-long retreat. And on this one, there was, you know, there's a whole load of self-hatred coming up, of course. And one of the themes on this month and last month was kind of like, I've messed up my life and I'm too old now to just give up, basically. And what I was seeing is, it's like this thing that I'm not worthy of closeness or intimacy, that I kind of don't deserve it somehow.
With you or with anyone else, right?
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that I've got to sort of do something so that I will deserve it if I want to.
Colin, because you're too old and it's too late and you've already messed it up, right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So it was really good. I don't know, that just came as a revelation to me. I hadn't sort of seen that somehow. And what I'm seeing is that is all still there for me to enjoy, regardless of my age or whatever, you know, my looks or whatever, that is available for me to enjoy, no matter what sort of thing.
That's right. And just to be clear, that is there for you to enjoy whatever egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has talked you into or out of throughout your life. And regardless of what it's trying to do to you now.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
And
it's unconditional.
Yes, and that was the bit that I hadn't seen before. It's there for me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. That just seemed to be a huge thing to see. That it's just with this practice, I don't know. I was just going. I had no sort of awareness of it at all, and to see that in every moment that is available unconditionally, mm-hmm. it's like kind of opened. Really, wow! That's how I can live somehow. It just seemed amazing.
Yes, and just to connect that with how you can live now. So the egocentric karmic conditioning is always trying to talk us into quitting. Right, so you're too old, you've blown it already, it's really hopeless, you should just quit. And what? You know, and what? It's not like you're 90 and you just need to, you know, survive a couple more years and then you'll be out of here, right? You've got, yeah, potentially, and I hope that this is true, a lot of years to either enjoy him thoroughly or to live in the despair of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yes, oh, right, yes, to enjoy this human incarnation, isn't it, Rob? To really enjoy that and relish it and appreciate the body. Yes, because I've still got a body, haven't I, and I can still enjoy it, can't I?
That's exactly right. And you know, I mean, the subject of sexuality, which is, you know, we're taught to think that that has to involve somebody else or it's not meaningful, right? But everything that you feel, everything you've ever felt are your feelings. It actually, and this is true with whatever we're doing, right? It actually doesn't involve anybody else. All these sensations, all the feelings, all the connections and the meanings and the happiness and the joy and the whatever else, those are your experiences.
Yes, and I think not to discount them, because it is like all these sensations are available to me, aren't they, to
yes,
enjoy, and
yes.
I hadn't caught on to that. But there's a sensuousness about it, that it's
right,
a sensuous experience. It's not I don't know, I was just feeling a sort of a gentle breeze on the skin, and there is that, oh, well, there's the breeze on the skin, but it is a very sort of sensual experience, yeah, somehow, to enjoy, yeah, it from, and it seemed to take the awareness onto another level of intimacy, I suppose, of being in connection with the wind and the skin, and I don't know, it just seemed to take it on a step somehow.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Whole world opens.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was really amazing. And I suppose now that is given, that is a given, isn't it? That I don't have to spend my life trying to I don't know, chase after that. It's a given. So
that's,
it's
right,
so freeing,
it's
to know.
It's,
yeah,
yours.
Yeah.
The door is open. You've already walked through it. Keep going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you
well,
so
thank
much,
you.
Colin.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Really grateful. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. It's so a conditioned notion that enjoyment is conditional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God, is it conditional? I mean, the
thing
that depends upon... Oh, the list is endless.
Yes. Yes.
If you live in the ego.
Yes. we have time for several more callers, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
This is Susan calling from Murphy's.
Well, hello, Susan. What do
hello,
you
Hello, Sherry and Ashley. I was just caught off guard by the "you can now ask your question" person. but one of the things I'm looking at is I've been listening every day. You know, you have us read the thing of the month and the reading, and I can't even pronounce the guy's name, but the guy who wrote about, you know, standing at, I don't know if he said the bar, and wanting to touch the person's skin.
Midriff. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So every time I listen to that reading, I laugh and I feel relieved and I realize there's nothing wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
I just can't believe it.
Can you say more about that, Susan?
Well,
you know,
I
want to tell you, I've suspected that for a really long time. I'm glad you're
yes,
closed in on it. So give me a specific what.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so this topic is just, I mean, money was big. I mean, I'm not even over that. The thing I got to with money was this belief underneath of I'm not allowed to enjoy and receive. anything.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, with this, you know, it's the same. That I'm not allowed to enjoy and receive sexuality or sensuality, and you certainly don't want to talk about it or tell what's going on with you about it inside, because on some level it's good and on some level it's bad. You know, there's just all of this stuff about everything, you know, these variety of aspects of the personality who get tortured for being the way they are. And over the course of the two classes, you know, the two other topics, there was just a growing, another way that you guys point at, you know, lead us to, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. This is just a human being. Now, what I did notice happened, so I've been listening to that, and I really love to listen to it, and then something starts coming in and saying, well, you know, this is nice, that reading points that maybe you're okay. But let's get down to the, you know.
let's look at some other evidence.
Well, it just starts pulling out, if I'm not paying attention, the pieces of this topic. Like, well, this is all nice, but to actually, you know, when we get to the 7 days where we do something, there's sort of this willingness to actually do something about this topic like there was about the other one. So ego wants to take it and just over-spiritualize and not and avoid sexuality. I don't know if you're... So anyway,
for a lot of people, that's, you know, people are in all kinds of life circumstances, right? So some people have sexual partners. Some people don't. Some people periodically do, and some people never do, right? And so it really is looking at what is it, as you say, how is this person most tortured on this subject, right? And so let's take that on.
Yeah. Yeah, let's and the that thing on. That I... Yes, and the thing that I think I've been most tortured about is I'm unique. Nobody else feels this way. Everybody's got it down pat. They're either choosing one of those things you just said and like it. You know, I'm a 25-year married older person going through menopause, and so I'm unique. And so, but I'm not, because what you read or what you guys wrote in that reading is everything I feel, even though my content may be different.
That's it. That's it, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, because I bet you just can't even imagine sitting at a bar looking at somebody's midriff and being pulled into conversations that you don't want to have because you so want to touch that midriff.
Right, except that I do every day, you know, in that...
In your form of it.
Yes. Exactly. And then the conflict, I could really relate yesterday, the person who was talking about, well, I don't know what they were talking about, but for me, that place of that we were looking at with sort of, there is the precept about, you know, I don't know what it's, I mean, I'm blanking on the precept, not to
indulge in.
Yes. And so, of course,
commit.
It tells me I'm unchaste when I'm not, and I'm the opposite of that. You know, it just comes in and gets it all mixed up. And I thought I was the only one that was all mixed up without thinking I thought that, of course, until I read that reading.
That's right. Right.
Anyway,
yeah. And we have all these other people who are grappling, and we know it, right? Because we went through it with finances, and we went through it with self-care, and you've been a part of Sangha for a long time. So we know that other people struggle with voices and conditioning and all of that. And to have it proved that even in those places where you think, okay, yeah, I can see that. That all makes sense, but not this. I mean, this is really... You know, you really are out there by yourself, and it is shameful, and you can't let anybody know, and the only thing you can do is just feel really bad.
Yeah, and as we talk about it and let everybody know, I feel okay, less alone for sure, you know, the gift of Sangha. I just hear, I mean, I'm sure you do too, but it's like everybody, I used to jokingly say with you, you know, you're the closest thing to Jesus I ever met, which is still true, of course. But there, as I listen to everybody on the phone every day, they are too. I mean,
yes,
hundreds of teachers that are saying what I feel and what I say, and I hardly need to call in. I mean, I push myself
to
try and challenge myself. I know. Well, that's the other thing, and then I know we got to go. But the thing that you said the other day about being of service, it's like I got to receive that. Okay, every time I go to the monastery, every time I go on retreat, every time I listen to the phone call, every time I do my homework, I am giving back.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I'm donating.
Yes.
And it's just a miracle.
Yes. Yes. You're doing your part. And when we step up in these really scary, threatening places, it's sort of service squared.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, in the easy places, there are lots of folks who are happy to serve. But when we get out there where it's really, you know, I really got to say something about myself in order to serve in this capacity, to step up then, you know, that's a true gift. And we all need that from one another. As you say, we got, the other thing that you said, Susan, that is so important, is for us to get how many Jesuses there are in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to go into despair when you just listen to the negativity of ego. But to have a chance to see the goodness over and over and over and over, we can't, ego can't deny that it's there.
Yeah, and that's what these phone calls do.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Help us see that. And give us the courage. So we are going to have the end of the month. We are going to have those 7 days or whatever they are where we're going to pick something that we're going to practice with specifically. And if we approach that with the, you know, there is somebody suffering with this, and I want to help her, I want to help him out of that suffering, and I can do that. I can be there and reach out a helping hand, and I can pull somebody out of that suffering. I want to do that.
Mm. Yeah, and I want to give back to you and Ashwini. Like the other guy said the other day, I do it for this person, and I want to do it for Sangha, and I want to do it for you guys, and that means we just homework every day.
That's right. We just keep showing up. Show up, show up. Whether we feel like it or not, whether we want to or not, we show up. Yep.
Mm.
That's it. Well, thank you, Susan.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Susan. Oh, there's just so much in that call, Sherry. And I can't bring on another caller. I can't bring on another caller, so I have a few minutes to say what was coming up for me in that, especially if we're talking about Christ, right? That whole, if we look at it metaphorically, that's really what we're all going through, that what animates us is that, and that we're so far away from it that we have to go through that crucifixion in order to recognize what we are.
Yeah.
You know, and Susan so beautifully pointed out that we do that, right, by going up against what's scary, what's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because what dies is the difficulty. It's an awful process for the death for ego to die. But, you know, we're inspired by everyone who does it, and we're inspired by the universality of it. And it's so courageous to take on the specifics of it for me.
Yeah.
Because if I have to die to that, then it has to be in the version that it is in me for me to get in touch with what's universal in all of us.
Yeah, that is such a good point. With any of our spiritual heroes, it's easy to get caught in content and lose sight of what were they actually doing? What were they what were they was being called forth for them to face and face down mm-hmm. And go mm-hmm. through that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I might think of Mahatma Gandhi and his experiments with truth.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry, and here's our assignment for today. Notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Review the various statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed by that review? A belief assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. Record and listen to what you see. Example, the voices say, you can't talk about sexuality with other people. Belief, it is not safe to be vulnerable.
Mm. Mm. And of course, what we're getting is how vulnerable we are to ego. The only real vulnerability that there is. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday. So,
yes.
Weekend to practice, and then, good Lord willing,
we'll get back together on Monday.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Sherry.
Everybody.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Go happy.
Go happy.